Welcome to Feel Good Wednesday with me, Bob Griffiths, on a Wednesday afternoon, feeling better for it, I hope. And also, can I welcome my guest to the studio, Sue Noyes. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you, Bob. Lovely to see you again.
Lovely to see you. Thank you for coming in. And she's been around for about 2 years now, coming up to the anniversary, aren't you?
February? It is. Yeah.
And more than 30 years experience in a variety of roles working in the NHS. Now, Sue, could you give us a flavour of the role as chair of the board? Both board and the trust.
Thanks.
How's that work?
So in the NHS, we've got a board. Every organisation has a board. And they're there to make sure the organisation's functioning well, that we're doing what we said we're doing, that we're focused on the things that we need to be focused on in terms of targets. And it's my role to chair that board. So that's partly about the meeting itself, but it's also about thinking about all the systems that we've got. So I work very closely with Andy as our chief exec. He and I meet very regularly. Where are we on this? What's happening here? But I'm also out and about in the organisation. Need to keep it real and know what's actually happening. How's it feeling for staff? And I'm out and about in the wider kind of system with local authority colleagues, other health organisation leaders as well, and saying how we're working together and what can we do collectively on certain things as well. So that's my role in a nutshell.
So it's an active role, not just sitting in the office or chairing meeting then?
Do you know what, Bob? In all honesty, the chairing of the meeting is probably the smallest bit of the job. It's everything else that goes alongside that. I never want to just sit there looking at papers. It's about what's actually really going on for people.
Okay, right. Well, now we've got a spot of that, a picture of that. Let's get into one of the topics. I think the national topics are there, so we bring them into this sort of discussion. And one of the biggest topics going on week in, week out is waiting times. Mm-hmm. Now, here, we've got a lot of what a waiting time. November 9, 2025, you had 56.3% of patients were waiting 18 weeks for their treatment to start. Mm-hmm. And your target in March is due to go to 60.4%. Mm-hmm. What's the position now today with this waiting times, and will you get to that target?
So it's improving. It's improving, but slowly. It is a challenge. And I think I'm sure everybody listening understands a waiting list. It isn't a kind of static thing, because time moves on and every day people will be added to the waiting list or coming off the waiting list, depends what's happening. There are two really big targets that are being focused on in the NHS at the moment. The first one is about, as you've said, bringing down the number of patients waiting for 18 weeks to 60% of the total number. But the other one is making sure by March 2026 that there's nobody waiting more than 52 weeks, i.e. waiting longer than a year. Of those two, I would say it's the 52-week one that is getting the most of the focus at a national level particularly. And I'm sure listeners will see that there's a lot of focus in the media about it, and we are monitoring on that. So in our 52 weeks, to give you a flavour of the kind of numbers, at the end of November we had about 11,500 people waiting 52 weeks. At the end of the first week in January, and here's my numbers, 8,600. So we are bringing it down. On average we've been removing about 554 people a week in that period. So it's going to be a real challenge to get there by the end of March, but you can see it is happening.
That's progress.
It's not a static thing, because as soon as somebody comes off the list, other people, because time moves on every day, will be moving into that slot. But one thing we've been trying to do is, well, we've been doing several things, but target the people who are around 40 weeks, because we know they're the ones that are going to fall into that cohort. Mm-hmm. So putting on lots of extra theatre lists, doing more outpatient appointments to review people and see what's happening. One thing I'm particularly proud of in relation to the number of patients who may be on a list with perhaps query cancer, our faster diagnosis standard. So a lot of people who might be at the start of their waiting list journey, getting them through and onto their treatment programme quicker, and I've been really proud about that as well.
That's good.
So it's not just about looking at the ones at the end. You need to think about what else is coming through on your waiting list when you're dealing with this as well.
Okay, so those are some of what other ways are you tackling that? I mean, are the people beyond a year still waiting?
We've reduced that down. So there's a series of targets that have been gradually getting lower and lower, if you like. So the previous target was 65 weeks. We've achieved that and brought people down there. As I say, the real focus, and I was in a meeting with all the other chairs and chief execs on Monday, is about the 52-week target, because that's big politically. More importantly, though, it's really important for patients. We don't want patients to be waiting
Absolutely.
That length of time. Mm. So as I say, lots more outpatients to review people, see if they still need to be on the list. Theatre lists, particularly using our rugby theatres as well over at rugby. So some patients may be offered rugby more routinely than perhaps they might have been expecting in Coventry. But we have some spare capacity there, so we're offering that to people. And there's some specific areas, trauma and orthopaedic patients will have seen some new initiatives. And I know one of the things we've talked about previously is urology investigations unit as well. We are working really hard to create one-stop shop for urology investigations, so that everything is in the same place.
That's good.
So that you get through the system. As I say, you don't want to just concentrate on the end of your waiting list. You want to think about where are the big big numbers that are going to come through. And if we don't deal with these now, they are going to move towards the end of the waiting list. So it's a very live process.
Sounds though you and the board have got a really good grasp of what's going on here.
We have had, seriously, we've had many conversations in the last 6 months particularly about key areas of our performance. Mm. There are a number of levers that you can pull. There are a number of ways to address this, but one single way won't solve all of this. You've got to think about who's waiting longest, where are my biggest chunks in the waiting list, which are the specialties that are particularly challenged, as I say, like trauma and orthopaedics, trauma and neurology. Let's think, what can we do there as well to really improve things?
Right, okay. So, you also, that's really good, and it really shows large improvement. It's excellent. It was mentioned also you were with other chief executives and chairs of other hospitals meeting together.
Yes.
Is that under the NHS England auspices or what?
It is under NHS England, obviously. That's going through a bit of a change mm-hmm. at the moment. But it is under those. So yep. We have a regular get-together at least once a month at the regional level, and we look at statistics there for waiting lists. We look at A&E targets. We look at diagnostics. And various other things. We look at flu vaccination rates. Not surprisingly, that's been a key feature, because clearly you want to make sure all your staff are not suffering flu, because it's not pleasant anyway, but we need staff to be at work. So how many staff are going through and being vaccinated? That's been a real focus as well. All of those are the sort of things that we look at.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah. Very good. And do you actually get to meet the Secretary of State?
I haven't met him recently. I'm sure that pleasure will come. but I have met other people, and of course we had Prime Minister here not so long ago.
Yes, indeed.
But yes, we do regularly meet, but there are conversations and there are webinars and there are messages sometimes that come out from Secretary of State to say, this is what I want you to be focused on. I'm not going to bang the table, but I'm just saying that's what we've got to focus on.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Yeah. I've got Sue Noyes with me here in the studio talking about all things UHCW and hospitals and National Health Service generally. Feel Good Wednesday with me, Bob Griffiths, and my guest in the studio, still with me. She stayed. Yes, she did. Sue Noyes. Thank you, Sue, for staying.
No problem.
For coming in. Now, we've been talking about waiting lists. I'd like to go on to another topic, a crucial topic, actually. It rather shocked people. The trust was rated good last August by the Care Quality Commission. Then in September, the NHS league tables were published, and University Hospitals Coventry and Warwickshire were ranked 132 out of 134, making it out as among England's worst performers. People were shocked. I had friends who know I do this show and say, I can't believe it. And people in this hospital say it to me as well. In December, the update of the list, I guess they check the marking and things move forward, and they move, the UHCW moved up to 96 out of 134. So what's going on in these ratings, and do they help patients, staff and the community?
I'm going to answer the second bit first, if I may.
Yeah, why not?
So, in the interest of public accountability, transparency, openness, I would say yes, they do. However, with these first set, if we think about the ones in September, it did cause some real concern to see that. First thing to say, for any NHS organisation that had a financial deficit, and we did, you couldn't get any higher than a segment three or a segment four, and we were in segment four in the first iteration. You weren't allowed to progress, so that was one thing that you automatically had a kind of override on. But more importantly than that, some of the indicators that were included, and it was quite a small range of indicators, we were not in a strong position, partly because of we hadn't done as much activity the previous year because of putting in our new electronic patient record system. We'd deliberately taken that down. So there were various things that were affecting it. But equally, there were some things where we just had to stop and say, this is not good enough, and we need to improve. So there's been a lot of activity since. And the actual indicators themselves, they've become a bigger group of indicators, with things that actually show us in a more favourable light, because we are performing well on certain indicators. For example, faster diagnosis standard for cancer, we are above the target. Some of those things were not in the first set, were in the second set. So we are now in a better position that we're now in segment three, and I anticipate that we'll probably stay in segment three for the next iteration. It is something that NHS England have said they're working on. They're not entirely happy themselves with the methodology they're using for these. But as a principle, yes, it gives people an idea. I have to say that for me, it's the Care Quality Commission, the CQC ratings, that matter the most, because they look at the quality of what we're doing. So not just achieving particular targets, but how well are we doing it? How compassionate are our staff? What outcomes are we achieving? Those are the sort of things that they look at as well. So for me, the CQC ratings are perhaps a little bit broader and a bit more representative. But there's no doubt that the ratings that we saw, the league tables we saw in September, were not where we wanted to be. And as I say, I'm pleased to see that we are moving up. But there's been a lot of effort in terms of moving us up as well on that.
And that's that change, also the change in points, come about because you've sorted out some of the financial issues that keep you in segment four?
You can be in segment three or segment four with a financial deficit. So we will stay in segment three this year. We're just about to go into the new financial regime next year, and we're determined not to have a deficit next year. So that will hopefully see us in a better position.
Okay.
I anticipate we will stay in segment three because of some of the things we talked about, like waiting lists, where we need to keep improving. But that shouldn't stop us then eventually over time moving into segment two and being more where we should be for a hospital trust of this side and this kind of calibre.
Indeed.
Of what's going on.
So the league table is developing anyway.
It's
being more understandable to people in
being more understandable, like yourself, adding in a broader range of things. So for example, there was nothing, we're a provider of community services, there was absolutely nothing in there about community services in September. There now is, and it's more reflective, and we're doing well on those sort of things. So it was a very quite narrow range, I would say, of things in that first iteration in September.
Right. So much more optimistic about where you'll be on the scale.
I'm optimistic about where we are. We do not rest on our laurels. This is about keeping going and improving things.
Yeah, I mean, one thing you've improved in the recent times is the waiting space in the A&E area.
Absolutely.
Did that bring you down on the list at all?
Not specifically the space, but obviously having more space is a much better. Yeah. Back to this, what's the patient experience?
Yes.
And that's much better for our patients now. It has been absolutely full again over the Christmas period, which you might expect. But at least people have got a little bit more space to sit in now. We've almost, I would say we've added another two-thirds, thinking about the numbers in terms of the chairs that we can now have add in as well, which is great.
That's good.
To where we were.
Yeah.
And on things like our A&E performance, we're generally, across the whole country, about middle of the pack. I see those results every Monday morning. They come to me, showing all the trusts across the country ranked, and we're usually around the middle on what we're doing. So
good. Okay, and what other improvements are going to happen this year to make things even better for patients and presumably for the bookkeepers of the NHS England.
Well, we've got things like the Community Diagnostic Centre that we're working on in the centre of Coventry. That'll make a difference. That's when, where we started.
When does that come on stream?
We're aiming for the end of this year so that we can do that. There are two, well, there's the Health in the High Street, which we're still very much wanting to do in Rugby, which is about having some services right in the town centre. Mm-hmm. Two big things. One we're calling Neighbourhood Health, which is a way of working with GPs, with the voluntary sector, with local authority colleagues at a much more local level, so that our patients don't have to come into the big hospital and they're getting their services more locally. That's something that's very exciting and should help certain areas of our Coventry population especially. And then the other big thing, and it's back to where we started really, Bob, about waiting lists. A lot of work to think about outpatients and what we can do. The world has moved on. We saw through COVID, so many things are done through Teams or over the phone. Really thinking about how we offer an outpatient service so that people are coming in to be seen really when they need to be seen. But if it's a routine monitoring appointment, can we have more of that over the phone and not have to bring people in and got to find a place to park the car, etc., etc.? So a lot of focus on how we improve on our outpatients.
Good, great. Sounds very encouraging.
Lots to do, Bob. I never come here and say it's all sorted. But
I'm sure.
It's lots to do, but it's some good things going on.
Okay, that's great. Anything else you would like to say at this opportunity?
No, other than Happy New Year. I think I said that at the start.
No, I didn't say that to you either.
I should have said that at the start. I didn't. Yeah.
And to you.
All right.
Thank you very much. That's Sue Noyes. She's chair of the UHCW Trust Board. Get it right. And thank you again for coming in. Really interesting information. And probably puts the shock in the far corner, and we're moving forward.
Shock, but there's always learning from these things.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Sue. See you again soon.
Thank you.
This is Coventry Hospital Radio.